to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, you just text me and we will proceed with whatever it is that is on your mind. So it'll come on the program about an hour from now. From the Trustville Tribune, we'll hear from Scott Buttram. That's in the 10 o'clock hour, and in the 11 o'clock hour, it's Tuesday. We'll talk to the Alabama Republican Party Chairman, John Wall. So make sure you stay right there where you are. Joining us now, we usually talk to him on Mondays, but we had to move it around as I was out yesterday. But joining us now on the line is Shane Stringer, state lawmaker from Citronelle. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Well, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Well, it is runoff day, I guess. You seen anything out there? You got any thoughts on that?
No, just, hear a lot of talk going on. Just everybody curious to see how the turnout's going to be and on which side of the ticket it's going to be. So, I guess it's anybody's guess at this point.
Yeah, and typically these things aren't like really, really high turnouts, but we will see. I anticipate here in the next few hours, but the thing is, and the way they do elections, these municipal elections in Alabama, and not making them partisan. But they always go in a partisan direction anyway. It's just does that always strike you as odd?
Yeah, that's kind of shocking, because I'm like you. I think at some point it's probably going to have to be partisan. We've seen a lot of partisan tendencies in this Mobile runoff election. So it would not surprise me if somebody don't push for that change sometime in the future.
Yeah, it's better for the voters to know where the candidates are coming from and who they are. And, you take an issue off the table, which is like, this person's a secret Democrat. Well, this person's a secret Republican. Well, we know if you run on the ticket, then there it is. But anyway, hey, something's gotten my attention, and I talked to the speaker a little bit about it on Saturday. He was at an event I was at in Huntsville. High School Athletic Association. Now, I guess y'all know the drama. I kind of explained it to the listeners earlier with the injunction. But I guess the High School Athletic Association really, really getting aggressive here. And what I understand, the way it was described to me, they're threatening schools who play CHOOSE Act recipients and saying if they win their court case, which I don't think they will, but if they do, they're going to make that school forfeit all their games, which that just seems really, really inappropriate to me.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I think that, they would police themselves and try to work with the governor and the legislature and the intent and everything of the CHOOSE Act. But instead, I think they're going the opposite. They're double down and then going the opposite direction. But, I think there's going to be some, there's potentially legislation that's going to come to address some issues. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a piece of legislation come changing the makeup of their board and addressing some of the board member issues and, just trying to get them back in check and getting them to doing the right thing.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about that? Folding this in, there's been talk about it, folding it into the governance of high school athletics in Alabama, into the state government, potentially the Department of Education or something. At least one texter's like, well, that's not really what Republicans do. That's number one, it's growth of government, but, just government taking over in general as a principle is not something we typically do as, in the Republican Party.
Yeah, and that texter's 100% correct. There's two issues with that. One, I'm just not sure that the Alabama Board of Education is prepared to handle that duty and take that on. Second, we don't want to grow government and do that. I think that this could be addressed and, hopefully get things worked out if possible. You know, it ain't like that a school is paying a student to come, you know, come to their school so they can play for there. That is state dollars that is going, whether they're going, no matter what school they go to in the state, is going to that student. So I don't see where they're making this an issue. You know, it's the student's money up front.
I guess what I'm stunned by is, like, well, you know, if you got the governor, you got two branches of government, you're probably going to get a third, because I don't see how the, you know, Ledbetter and Ivy lose in the Alabama Supreme Court at all. But if you get the entire state government working against you, and you're just handicapping the state of Alabama versus the Alabama High School Athletic Association, you feel like the state's going to win this fight. But they're not, they don't see it that way. So what I'm stunned at is just how resistant they are to anything, any kind of criticism from those in power.
Yeah, I think everybody's stunned and, you know, kind of shocked at it to a degree. You know, I would think that they would be willing to, let's try to work this out, keep us out of the news and off the taxpayer monies and having to take something to court, but obviously they're not concerned about that or don't care. So, you know, it's going to create a lot of issues where, you know, legislature, the governor, and everybody's going to be taking a deep dive on them and looking at what needs to be done, changes. I know, you know, Representative Jamie Keel, he's, you know, looking at a bill to potentially audit them because of all their resources and everything that is state funded. So, I mean, there's got to be some checks and balances, and that's what this boils down to, checks and balances. And, you know, I think they're, you know, taking on a fight that don't have to be fought. I mean, I understand the rule and what it's in place for, but this is not that scenario. This is where you've got, you know, students that are using the Choose Act and, you know, taking that money to go somewhere else, and they're making a bona fide move. They should absolutely be able to play ball.
Do you think, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you hear from constituents about this? Because it seems like it's pretty widespread. This isn't just like four or five lawmakers, but that, and not necessarily just Choose Act, but just everything in general. Have you heard from your folks about any of this?
Yes, a little. It ain't been a lot, but I have heard from constituents, and pretty much every legislator that I have talked to across the state is hearing from constituents. So this is, you know, it's a statewide issue that's being discussed everywhere. So it's not an isolated incident that's, you know, just got a select few people talking about it. This is a statewide issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to, it doesn't sound necessarily like something that only, you know, this is very niche. This is a solution looking for a problem. This isn't a fight you guys picked. And whenever I bring this up, I mean, there's a handful of people out there who are just like, well, you know, what about the cheaters? What about the schools that do it and you know, don't play by the rules? They're out there, and you guys aren't doing anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of ones that are pushing the envelope and definitely deserve to be looked at, and that is one of the you know, principal goals and duties of the board is to look at that. But they are, you know, this issue that we're dealing with the Choose Act is not, shouldn't be an issue. This is really something that should have been able to be handled behind closed doors, be able to resolve for the best interest of the state, and let's, you know, get this behind. But instead, you know, we're talking about it on every news channel, on every radio station across the state, you know, and just trying to, I guess, figure out how we're going to address it.
We're joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. I don't think we talked since the Charlie Kirk episode. I think that was right a few days before. But your reaction to that and just sort of being out in public, and I don't know that this is a necessarily a widespread thing that, you know, I guess it's becoming that, where public figures are increasingly in danger. But I think it's only it's a big concern for a lot of parents. I mean, you know, after Minneapolis and then after this, just sort of the violent nature of what's going on. Is there anything the legislature ought to do to try to shore up security even more so than they have in the past?
Yeah, I think we've already done some security measures at the State House. I've passed a couple pieces of legislation to try to help address that. One was the doxing bill, where people are putting our personal information, where we live, who we're married to, where our kids go to school, what we drive, that kind of information on, you know, social media, trying to give somebody the access that might would want to do something to us. And then we passed another piece of legislation that would allow, like, first responders and certain elected officials to have their personal information redacted out of county and state databases, like probate records, where someone couldn't look up and try to find where you're at. So, yeah, there's been some steps taken. I worked on those about 3 years ago and was able to get that passed. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have to stay aware of your environment and just kind of, you know, watch this. And it's going to, as things happen and things occur, we're going to have to change and adapt to that, just like, you know, the situation with Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we really saw this. Maybe not you personally, maybe you did, I don't know. But when Alabama did the abortion ban in 2019, and, I mean, it happened here, that there were, we know Senator Gudger and we know some others, they went after pretty aggressively, the left did, nationally. But it happens, right? It happens where state-level lawmakers can be the target of a national sort of left-wing movement.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I went through it when I passed the constitutional carry bill a couple of years ago. You know, I was getting and receiving threats from individuals, Democrats out of California and from all over the country. I mean, it was such a widespread story across the nation that I was receiving threats from, you know, individuals from all over the country, you know, so I was 100% aware of my environment and, you know, paying attention and, you know, asking my family to do the same thing, just, you know, to make sure we're protected.
Representative, the other, I guess, kind of talked about issue, Governor Ivey, a little dismissive of putting National Guard troops in some problem areas, criminally, I guess, where the, you know, crime seems to be still out of control. And you know, we had a big, an unfortunate weekend, I guess, in Montgomery. Well, what do you think of that? I mean, you're in this space and you understand law enforcement, but there's some talk about it, but doing more with the National Guard in some of these problem areas around the state, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea in certain scenarios and situations. Now, luckily for Alabama, you know, we've been able to supplement a certain area law enforcement with our state troopers and with ALEA. And basically, we've done the exact same thing. We've just been able to accomplish it with extra law enforcement through our state troopers. But, yeah, I mean, if a situation in a certain area gets bad enough, then I'm 100% supportive of that. And, you know, basically, it is not a crazy concept, man. You just put you would put a National Guard officer with a state-certified officer in that area, which would give you two-man units, which makes things more safe and able to handle things, and that would help you to spread your law enforcement out throughout that district, that county, or that area.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I'm curious what you think of this, and this got some national attention even, but state resources being used to kind of bolster the Trump deportation efforts that, you know, in the past they tried it in 2011 and it got kicked around in the courts, but having more state involvement in Alabama with what they're trying to do on immigration.
Yes, and that's not really a new concept. I mean, pretty much every administration that has came through the White House, whatever their agendas are, whether it's pushing a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate, they push money to the health department, they push money to the school systems to push their agenda and to push that information out. This is no different, where, you know, the Trump administration is pushing, you know, grants and funding out for local law enforcement to help with these immigration issues, whether it be locating, detaining, or housing in their local jails. So it's nothing new than, you know, what we've seen in past with other issues.
Well, real quick, and we got to get out of here, but we can barely house our own inmates. And we have problems with our prisons. I mean, how do you feel when you hear that we're going to do an Alabama alligator Alcatraz version or something? I mean, is it really appropriate for the state to be doing this?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty hard for the state of Alabama to try to look at utilizing our prisons for that. You know, I know there's a lot of county jails throughout Alabama that is being utilized, and you know, I think that's more the case in Alabama. There may be some being housed in our state prisons, but I don't think so.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
No more night.